Blessing to have a missionary family with us. Brother, you've been on the field for, is it 10 years? 13 years. That was not even close, but praise the Lord. I really appreciate families that just make themselves willing to be used however the Lord sees. That's how mission starts. Mission starts with at least first a willing spirit. And then just allow God to use you wherever, however, whenever. And appreciate the Homans, 13 years in Italy. At this time, I'm going to turn the service over to him and his family. You give close attention to that. And again, appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thank you, John.
Clear all this.
Amen. Good evening. It is a blessing to be here. As the pastor said, we are the Homan family. We're sent out of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. And we have been in the country of Italy, specifically in the city of Rome, for the last 13 years. Tonight I have with me my wife, Sheila, and our youngest son, Caleb. Our oldest two children, Joshua, 23, Megan, 21, are still in Rome, helping to hold down the fort there. And God willing, we've been here since March the 2nd, and God willing, we will fly out of New York JFK on October the 5th. So what I'd like to do tonight is quickly give you a personal testimony that'll lead us up to the video. And if time allows, I'd like to have my wife and son come up and sing in tongues for you. The tongue of Italian and then, of course, the tongue of English. And then we'll see what we can get from the Word of God tonight. But I want to begin on a certain day, specific day. I do remember the day. That day was October 14th, 1990, when my pastor took a King James Bible and he showed me that I was a sinner, I was lost, and on my way to hell. But he didn't stop there. He also showed me that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So as a 17-year-old boy, I bowed my head and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. And then about 2 weeks later, with all about 5 seconds to make the decision, I made another very important life-changing decision. And that is I signed away 8 years of my life to the United States Marine Corps. And I say I took about 5 seconds to make the decision. A buddy of mine came up and he said, I just joined. Why don't you join with me and we'll go to boot camp together? And growing up, I wanted to be a police officer, and I couldn't do that until I was 21 anyway, and decided I got nothing better to do till then, so why not? Besides, we're 18 years old, we're graduating from high school, and we're really tired of adults telling us what to do, parents and teachers. So it was a win-win situation. So shortly after graduation, we found ourselves at a place called Paris Island, South Carolina, known to some as Paradise Island, standing on these yellow footprints, and we were quickly introduced to the meanest people on the planet, Marine Corps drill instructors. And I knew immediately that I had made the worst decision in my life, but it was too late. So I spent 13 wonderful weeks there. Afterwards, they sent me around a few other places, sent me overseas. I spent 13 months in Japan. And while there, I applied for and was accepted into the Marine Security Guard program, what most people simply know as embassy duty. So they brought me stateside, spent some time at Quantico, Virginia, and then back overseas, this time to the American Embassy in Budapest, Hungary. Shortly after arriving in Budapest, I met a young lady from Toronto, Canada, who was my first convert to the Lord Jesus Christ and was to be my future wife. So after 15 months, they reassigned me again, this time to the American embassies in Rome, Italy. I say embassies plural because Rome is the only city in the world that has two American embassies, one to the country of Italy, the other to the Holy See, or what most people simply know as Vatican City. Vatican City is the world's smallest recognized nation, has a population of about 975 inhabitants. Its entire population is comprised of unmarried adults, no children. By far the most perverted nation in the world. Not only the smallest nation. Well, I spent 15 months there. My time on active duty was up. I got out of the Marine Corps, went back to my church in North Alabama. My wife and I were married about 6 weeks later. And then about a year after that, March of 1997, the Lord called me to preach. So I surrendered my life to preach this King James Bible. and then asked the Lord to open some doors of opportunity for me to preach. Then I got on the telephone. I called every local jail, rescue mission, nursing home, state prison, looking for places to preach. Within just a few weeks, I had more open doors of opportunity to preach than I had time. I was able to go every Sunday morning in three local jails, start out once a month in a rescue mission, once a month in a nursing home, start out in one state prison. That opened up to seven state prisons there in Alabama. And I started working with the young people in our church, teaching the young men's Sunday school class. Spent 7 years sitting on a pew, learning the Bible and trying to serve the Lord. And I did want to serve the Lord, but I wanted to serve the Lord here in America. I'd been to 15 different countries. I had no desire to go back overseas. But then in March of 2004, the Lord made it very clear that He wanted me to go back to Rome. So I did what I believe the sensible thing. I surrendered. I told Him that I would go. Took my entire family at that time. My wife was 7 months pregnant with our son Caleb. Went back to Rome on a survey trip for about 2 weeks to get some answers to some very important questions, like how much is rent going to cost, how much are utilities, how much is food going to cost. See, I lived there for 15 months, but I lived on the American Embassy compound, so I had no idea about these numbers and these questions that had to be answered. So we came back, put a house up for sale, quit my job. We started full-time deputation in May of 2004. So 2 years, 10 months, some 300 independent Baptist churches later, we got our support, and we left for the field in March of 2007, where we've been for the last 13 years. This is our second furlough in that time, and we planned this furlough last year before anybody ever heard of COVID-19 or coronavirus, and had a beautiful furlough laid out, but then, of course, we got a corona curveball, and by the grace of God, we've made it through thus far. And in, I believe, 22 days, we are leaving to go back to Rome. We're not counting yet, but I think it's 22 days. And God willing, we'll be back on October 6th, back in Rome. So if you would, please pick up a prayer card off of our table there, and we'd ask you to please pray for the Homans to the Romans. Thank you. Okay, yes, sir. I can help you. If you guys just want to grab it, move it right there. All right. Joe, do you want to cut off all the...
Hello, we are the Holman family, Jamie, Sheila, Joshua, Megan, and Caleb. We are church planting missionaries sent out of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. We have been serving in Rome, Italy since March 2007. We would like to thank you for taking the time to watch our video presentation and ask you to please pray for the Holmans to the Romans. Italy is located in southern central Europe. It is easily recognized as the peninsula shaped like a boot kicking a football. Rome is the capital and largest city, located nearly in the center of the country on the western seaboard. During our absence, the majority of the preaching and teaching in both the English and Italian churches will be conducted by the three young men standing to my left, Joshua, AJ, and Akash. We ask you to pray for these young men as they have taken on the responsibility and care of the local churches. Prior to arriving in Rome, the Lord gave us five specific mission goals to accomplish. The first of these is to evangelize. We've been accomplishing this by various means, such as one-on-one witnessing, public preaching, gospel tract distribution at various locations, such as the markets, metros, and even in mailboxes. We have four nursing homes that we minister at on a monthly basis, and various Bible studies, such as the weekly Bible study at the United Nations World Food Program. The Bible says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Our second mission goal is to establish Italian, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches. Then turn these works over to trained local pastors. This is the scriptural New Testament example set forth by the Apostle Paul. This is also the main long-term objective of this missionary endeavor. At present, we have established the Chiesa Biblica Battista of Roma. And although small in quantity, is growing in quality. We use this church to start a Bible study in the small mountain village of Mandela, located about 40 minutes away. 2015, that work was turned over to Brother Angelo Serino. 2019, he transferred the church to the larger town of Tivoli that has nearly 57,000 souls. We ask you to please pray for Pastore Angelo Serino and the Chiesa Biblica Battista della Valle. Amen. Our third missionary goal is to establish an English-speaking, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Rome has an estimated population of approximately 3.5 million people in the metro area and 2,800,000 in the city proper. If we only minister to the Italian-speaking population, we would miss a significant portion of the Roman population. Rome has an English-speaking population the size of a small town. In 2007, immediately after arriving in Rome, we established the Bible Baptist Church of Rome. This is a multicultural church made up of saints from all over the world. We use this church to reach, as Paul said, all that be in Rome. Our meeting place is located in the southern part of Rome, and it is shared with the Chiesa Biblica Battista. Our fourth mission goal is to disciple believers, using the Word of God to establish them in the faith. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Fifth mission goal is to print We print our own gospel tracts, Bible study materials, Bible reading charts, etc. The Bible says the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Our New Testament examples in Acts 13:49, where the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. If anything is going to get the job done, it is the word of God. One of the greatest oppositions that we face in Italy and Rome in specific is religious tradition. The Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Italians often ask us why we would leave America and move to Italy. The answer is simple. La Bibbia dice, per ciò che Dio ha tanto amato il mondo, che egli ha dato il suo unigenito figliolo, a ciò che chiunque crede in lui non perisca, ma abbia vita eterna. That is, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'd like to thank you for taking the time to watch our video presentation and ask you to please pray for the Holmans to the Romans.
Amen.
Señor, l'alba spunta già, Cristo viene nel suo regno e ci accoglierà. Guarda il forte, presto vengo, Cristo dice ognor. Rispondiam per grazia, tengo il forte, o Signor. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fervor mai la pugna troce, Cristo ci sostien. Già sentiamo la sua voce, il Signore vien. Guarda il forte, presto vengo, Cristo dice ognor. Rispondiam per grazia, tengo il forte, o Signor. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will.
Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would please. Any missionary on deputation or furlough needs to live by three very important rules. Number one, finish on time. Rule number two, finish on time. And rule number three, you guessed it, finish on time. So if you would, go ahead and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to start in verse number 1. I want to preach to you tonight about hope in the last days. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, and it's a great blessing to be a Bible-believing Christian that you can actually know some things. Don't ever let anyone try to back you into a corner, try to intimidate you to think that it's wrong or it's a sin or it's arrogant for you to believe the Word of God, therefore to know some things. If you believe the Word of God, you can and should know some things. And the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then we get an 18-fold description of these last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And notice the last part of verse number 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Say, this is a great description of the unsaved world. Is it now? He says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Hey, this is also a good description of professing Christianity, not just the world. This is a good description of Laodicea right here in these passages. But you don't have to turn on the television or go to Walmart to see these things are a reality that we face every single day. It is clear to anyone that's halfway honest that we are living in the last days, and according to the Word of God, these are perilous times. So, having said that, what can we expect in these last days? Look down at verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Say, what can I expect in these last days? You can expect the things that you just read. If you're saved by the grace of God and you're living for God, you can expect some trials and tribulations and tragedies and temptations in these last days. These are some things you can expect. Say, well, I didn't think that I would face those things. I mean, you listen to Benny Hinn and Creflo Dollar, whatever his name is, you wouldn't think that you would face these things in the day in which you live. Well, that's a problem when you reject the Word of God and accept the Word of man. But according to the Word of God, we are in these last days. They are perilous times, and you can expect some trials, tribulations, tragedies, and temptations in these last days. That's what you expect. So, what should your response be? Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, the last thing you need to do in these last days, these perilous times, is get the bunker mentality, run for the hills, climb in a cave, and just try to hold out until the Lord comes. Say, we're living in these last days, the perilous times. What should we do? Continue thou in the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. You say, are things going to get worse? Yes. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse? Yes. So what should you do? You should keep on doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. When you get up in the morning, instead of reaching for this, reach for this. Honor the Lord with thy first fruits. Start your day out with prayer and Bible reading. Honor the Lord with your weekly first fruits by assembling yourselves together. And you need to continue to do exactly what the Lord has told you to do. This is no time to quit. This is no time to run up a white flag and turn around and surrender. Say, what do I need to do? Continue to do exactly what you know that you need to do. See, when you got saved, God gave you a ministry. If you're saved, we heard some testimonies earlier, God gave you a ministry. I don't know you, but I know God gave you a ministry. He gave you the ministry of reconciliation. He made you an ambassador for Christ. Would y'all agree with that? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I mean, that's the Word of God. You know, at the embassy, I told you I used to work at these embassies. The top dog at the embassy, the big boss, is an ambassador. He drives around in a car. I should say he's driven around in a car, police escort. He wears the fancy suits. He comes into the embassy. The Marines have to salute him and say, good morning, Mr. Ambassador. Everybody gets out of his way. They call him Mr. Ambassador. He goes to all these important engagements, and we think that's a very high-ranking position. And it is. It's a very prestigious position. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you also are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, or should be. If you are functioning in your ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, trying to reconcile lost sinners to Jesus Christ by faith in Christ, then you are functioning as an ambassador. The Bible in Isaiah 18 defines an ambassador as a messenger. So you're an ambassador, you have a message. That message is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we are living in the last days. These are perilous times. But it is no time to turn around and run away or surrender or lay down in defeat. You should continue to do exactly what the Lord has told you to do. Do exactly what you should have been doing the entire time. Look what he said in verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So what should I continue to do? Continue to read your Bible, continue to pray, continue to go to church, continue to witness, continue to study the Word of God, continue to memorize the Word of God. Hey, these sword drills are great. You know, stick that sword up in the air like that. You need that exercise when you're memorizing scriptures if you're going to eat all that candy, amen, and help bring your blood sugar down. So do everything that you're supposed to be doing. So we are in the last days. Now, all that was introduction. So I told you I want to preach to you tonight about hope in the last days. I know I painted, or at least the scriptures painted, a pretty dreary picture of how things are going. And I'm not only talking about the pandemic that we call coronavirus or COVID-19. I'm just talking about the things we've seen in the Bible. So you should continue to do exactly what you're supposed to do. But even in the midst of these last days, these perilous times, you can have hope. You should avail yourself of the hope that the Bible presents. And you should cling on to that hope, and that hope will help get you through these last days and through these perilous times. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that He shed His blood. And Father, that His blood has redeemed us to you. And Father, we're so thankful for a perfect Bible, that every word is true, that it's been given by inspiration, it's been preserved perfectly and without error. And Father, we're so thankful that we can have hope in these last days. Now, Father, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you'd open the scriptures to us. I pray that you'd give us understanding. I pray, Father, that by chance, if there's anybody here tonight or maybe listening that is not saved, may they understand their need to be saved. And Father, for those that are saved, I pray, Father, that they'll be fed tonight, that they'll be exhorted, that they'll be strengthened. Whatever needs to be done, I pray, Father, that you would do that. I pray you'd meet with us, take away any hindrance, any distraction, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his soon return. Amen. All right, I want you to keep your Bibles open, turn over all the way to the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 1. You know, the Bible is an important part of preaching. Amen. Preaching is a participation sport. Amen. You sit there, you keep your Bible open, you turn, you look at all the references, you at least look like you're half awake. Amen. You say amen. Y'all say amen up here, right? I'm from Alabama. They say amen. You know, you can just get up and smile. They say amen. But you're allowed to do that. It'll help keep you awake, if nothing else. So in Titus chapter number 1, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life. And that's the first hope I want to talk to you tonight. I'm going to give you 2 points. I won't give you a poem. We don't have time for that. But the first point is hope, as the Bible says here, of eternal life, in hope. Now, hope in the Bible is not used the way we use it today. We use it as expressing a wish or a desire. I'll illustrate. I wish that Cracker Barrel would hurry up and open back up so I could go back in, amen, brother, and get my $7.99 lunch or breakfast special. That's the way we use the word. I wish, or I hope. In the Bible, hope is a result of a fact. Hope is a result of an assurance. Because you have eternal life, you have hope. In fact, eternal life is your hope that someday you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. And you know that no unsaved person has that hope. Really, any person that doesn't believe the Bible doesn't have that hope. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you can and should have that hope. But what is that hope based upon? Let's keep reading. In hope of eternal life, which God, I'm going to show you an apparent contradiction, that cannot. Now, doesn't that sound strange? God that cannot. That's why you need to keep reading. Amen? God that cannot lie hath promised before the world began. See, your hope of eternal life is based on the fact, it's predicated on the fact that God cannot lie. You know, we teach the kids in the little kid classes that, you know, our God can do everything and our God can do anything. And, you know, a context of salvation, that's true. But there's at least one thing your God cannot do. He cannot lie. And that's a good thing. That is a blessing. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18, the Bible says it's impossible for God. Again, sounds like another contradiction, does it not? But it goes on to say, to lie. Not only can he not lie, it's impossible for God to lie. And that's important. I say, why is that important? Because any other person on the planet that has a heartbeat and a pulse, you're sitting here, look to your right. Now look back to your left. Everybody you just saw has the capability and the potential to lie to you. That's your spouse, that's your children, that's your parents, that's your pastor, if he's in here. But you say, why? Because of human nature. There's no pope, there's no priest, there's no pastor, there's no preacher that's infallible, but God himself is infallible. He cannot lie, and it's impossible for God to lie. Look at 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. We heard some testimonies earlier. Some people testified to the fact that they had received the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul. And if you have done that, then you too should have hope of eternal life. That somehow, some way, that eventually you're going to be absent from this world and you're going to be present with the Lord. See, the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Any architects here tonight? You know, I imagine before they built this building, they didn't just get a bunch of people together. Y'all didn't do it like we would do it in Alabama, just get a bunch of guys together and say, hey, let's throw up a building. What do y'all want to do? Before you guys built this building, you guys had blueprints. And see, there is a biblical blueprint of salvation. And it's right here in verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have life. So we're talking about physical life? No. Back up to verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. You see that? And this life is in His Son. So the context is eternal life. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. As a result, look at verse 13. These things are written unto you. You see that? Written. The written Word of God. God that cannot lie. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, there it is, know. Any ex-Roman Catholics here tonight? Then you will know that you were told at some point by somebody that it's a sin of presumption to presume to know that you have eternal life. So basically they're calling God a liar. If you do what God said that you have to do, then you can know that you have eternal life. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says that you are kept saved by the power of God. You didn't have the power to save yourself. You don't have the power to keep yourself saved. God had the power to save you. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And He only has the power to keep you saved. So if there is a time and a place in your life when you were born again, you passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. You passed from spiritual darkness to spiritual life. You were born again at a certain time and place. Then you have eternal life. And you should have hope in that, that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, someday, somehow, you are going to be absent from this body. You're going to be present with the Lord. That's hope of eternal life. Now go back to Titus, but this time go to Titus chapter 2. And I want to show you one more thing quickly. Titus chapter 2. And look down at verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that grace teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So no matter how bad things get, no matter how much things wax worse and worse, you should make every diligent effort to live godly in this present world. And then verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. That blessed hope. Now what is that blessed hope? Well, it really doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what any of us think. It matters what God said. So if we keep reading, He will tell us exactly what that blessed hope is. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that is a hope. That blessed hope is that you, as a child of God, as a part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ that you have, that someday the Lord is going to come back and He is going to take us out of this world. Now, I'll just tell you what I believe. I believe, according to the Bible, I believe it's pretty clear that that's going to happen prior to the great tribulation. Now, some people would say that's that blessed hope. Because when you read about that, things going to take place. And we see that in Revelation chapter 4. We have a picture of that blessed hope when the Lord takes His church out of this world. But then in chapter number 6 through chapter number 18, we see a series of events that are going to take place on this earth. And they are terrible. Unlike anything that the world has ever seen. And I'm thankful that I don't have to be around to be an eyewitness to those events. Just reading about in the Bible is plenty enough for me. I don't really have any particular desire to see the seals open and the trumpets and the vials. I really don't have a desire to see those things. If you got a Bible, you can see it through the eye of faith. But I don't necessarily think that that's really all and sums up the entirety of that blessed hope. I really don't. So what do you think it is? Go to Colossians chapter number 3 quickly. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Here is your judgment seat of Christ prep chapter. This one chapter will help you get ready for the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ. So if you've been spiritually raised up, you can go read that in Ephesians chapter 2. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. As a result, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now notice verse 4. When Christ, who is our life? I know some of you grandparents might think that your grandkids are your life, but they're secondary to the, or should be, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There should be no one in this universe that's more important and more beloved to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with Him in glory. See, Paul wrote about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's sitting there in Rome. He's in a prison. You want to come find, come visit us in Rome. We'll take you and show you where Paul was put in prison, supposedly. We'll take you to the place where they beheaded the Apostle Paul. Hacked his head off and his head bounced 3 times, so they say. So they erected a fountain, a memorial of every place where his head bounced. And then we'll take you to the Basilica, São Paulo, where they have his remains entombed. Not really, but that's what they say anyway. But Paul was in Rome, in prison. We know that much for sure. And he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he's talking about that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, he said, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul died loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for His return. In Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 20, the very last prayer of the Bible was, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, why the strong desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you really, as Colossians chapter 3 said, if He is your life, and as Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, if He has the preeminence in your life, that's the first number one place. Think about that for a moment. What's up there in that number one spot for you? Is it this? Is it your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your siblings, your parents, your friends? If there's anything else up there other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got some things out of order. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is up there, you should want to see Him more than any other person in the universe. Folks, we left March the 2nd. I told you we have our older two children there, 23, 21. They're adults, not for Italian standards. Italian standards, they're not adults. They're like 35. They live at home until they're 35. But they're, you know, adults as far as we're concerned. But I promise you, Mama wants to see those two babies of hers. And we've got 23 days to go. So really, there's no one on this planet, earthly speaking, that we want to see more than them. But I'll tell you who we want ultimately to see more than them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So picture this. Someday, if you're saved, you're going to die. You're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Good for you. Maybe not so good for the people you leave behind. They will sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. We know that, right? But if you think about that, you should have a desire to want to be with Christ, which is far better. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But to get there, you got to die. And I'm a coward really when it comes to death. I don't really just sit around and think, I want to die as a martyr. I want to die on a torture rack in a secret Vatican Jesuit prison underneath the Vatican. I don't have those desires, folks. If I do die before the Lord comes, I want it to be in my sleep, just quick like that, okay? But so you got to think about that. You're going to be separated from your family, and you got to die to get there. But think about this. If there's a way you can get to heaven, number one, and you don't have to die, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go back and read that. And then if your family's saved, your spouse, your kids, you know, your loved ones, your church family, if you don't have to be separated from them, you all get to go at the same time without dying. Now that is what I believe would be a blessed hope. So when's the last time you prayed for that? When's the last time you prayed like John prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus"? But that's a great blessed hope that we have. I still believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come for His church anytime. I believe that. I believe we're that close. I believe we're in the last days. Things are going to wax worse and worse. But I have hope because I am saved. I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. No matter how bad it gets here, I know that someday I'm going to be absent from this body, present with Him. But on top of that, I have a blessed hope that I will get to go to heaven. And that possibility of all of us getting to go to heaven at the same time without having to die some miserable, painful death, that is a great blessing. Hence that blessed hope. So if you're saved by the grace of God, yes, we are in the last days. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. These are perilous times. I know that all sounds like wonderful news. But you know what you need to do? You need to know that. You need to understand that you need to keep on doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And while you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, take hope. If you're saved, you have hope of eternal life. And you have a blessed hope that the Lord Jesus Christ could come anytime. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those words should be a great comfort to you. I would encourage you to pray daily, multiple times throughout the day. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we do have hope in these last days, that because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, He died, He was buried, He went to hell for our sins, He came up from the grave, the sacrifice was paid, that we can have eternal life as a free gift. And Father, that beyond that, we also have that blessed hope. Someday, very soon, anytime, the Lord Jesus Christ could come back and take His church out of this world. And Father, I pray that You'll deal with hearts. If there's someone here tonight that's not saved, may they understand that they need to be saved. This could be their day of salvation. That they are lost, they are sinners, and they will die and go to hell, absent from the body, present in hell, unless they receive and trust the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, those that are saved, Father, I pray that they were helped and maybe exhorted and comforted somehow, some way. Father, by the message, they can have hope in these last days, hope of eternal life and that blessed hope. Father, I pray that You'll deal with hearts, do what needs to be done. I ask it in Jesus' name. Pastor.